Nation's youth. Fire and wind. You know, you don't know me, Nation's youth, but I want to let you know that I know you. I want to tell you why I know you, because I just flew 4,000 kilometres from the east coast of Australia, from a little place called Byron Bay. You might know it is the home of Chris Hemsworth, hippies, and about every essential oil that you could possibly imagine. And I'm actually selling them after the... No, I'm just kidding. But I've heard about you, because you don't know Nation's Youth, but that word is getting around. Word is getting around about a room full of teenagers who are hungry for revival on the west coast of this great south land of the Holy Spirit. I heard about a room full of teenagers who don't just want to get baptized by water, but in the fire of the Spirit of the living God. And I just want to know if I came to a room full of performers or reformers tonight, in Jesus' mighty name, we're going to pray together, because I believe that teenagers have the authority to pray and release the kingdom of God in the present. You don't need a stage. You don't need a microphone. You don't need a platform. You need the Holy Spirit, and you need a heart and a conviction and a mouth that is going to speak the praises and ask God for something more. Are you going to ask Him for something more tonight, Nation's Youth? Because I'm ready for more. I want to hear this house filled with the prayers of a group of teenagers who want to receive from God, who want to receive something fresh. Because I want to tell you tonight, the Lord told me that the spirits of anxiety are going to be bound and driven from this house tonight. The spirit of depression is going. The spirit of intimidation is gone. In fact, right now I feel in my spirit that the spirit of shame is going to come right off this place. Would you pray with me? I speak to every spirit of shame. I bind you and I banish you from this place in Jesus' mighty name. I speak affection over you. Come on, I want to hear your praises. Let's set the atmosphere even more. Let's show Him how hungry we are tonight. Let's ask for the fire. Let's ask for the wind of God. Come on, Nation's Youth. Fire and wind.
Fire and wind. Come and do it again. Open up the gates. Let heaven on in. Come rest on us.
Come on.
Come rest on us.
Fire and wind.
Fire and wind. Come and do it again. Open up the gates. Let heaven on in.
Wells of healing, wells of revival, wells of
we're
salvation,
wells in the west, wells in the west, we're digging wells in the west, we're digging wells in the west,
come on,
wells in the west, we're digging,
yeah. This is revival,
we're digging wells.
We're digging.
Oh,
he's setting some of you free right now. He's setting some. revival, and we're stirring it up again tonight. And we're stirring it up again. Are you hungry for revival? Yes. Are you hungry for salvation? Are you hungry for healing? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Because God doesn't respond to performance. He responds to hunger. He responds to hunger. He doesn't have an age limit. He just responds to hearts that are hungry. And the Lord says to you tonight, if you want it, you can have it. In Jesus' mighty name, come on, teenagers, lift your voice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, we ask tonight that you would set us free. We ask that you would magnify the Son of God, holy and lifted up. Shine the spotlight on your Son, Jesus Christ, and draw everyone to Him. Father, tonight we ask that every spirit of anxiety would come down, every stronghold would come down. Where the Spirit of truth is, because the truth will set us free, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much. I'm going to be almost as distracted as Pastor Harry Slade tonight because the anointing is so thick in here. Who loved Pastor Harry this afternoon? I'm watching for shards of glass as I speak. You got to be in it to win it, you know. Sometimes the gospel takes risk, and that one paid off. Thank you, Pastor Harry. Can we just honor him tonight? And I want to honor Pastor Matt and Pastor Sydney. Could you stand for a moment? Your youth pastors are. You stand, you guys. You stand, yeah. I just want you to give them honor where honor is due. These are dear friends of mine and Paul's, and these two have an apostolic anointing on their life and the message and the ministry that they carry. I want to tell you, it's going all around Australia. I believe you just came back from New Zealand, but there's a mantle on their life, but this is where they are primarily called. They love you, they honor you, they minister to you, but never always appreciate everything that they do, because I tell you what, other parts of Australia know about what these guys carry, so we can just honor them for a moment, please. Thank you, Lord. And for those who don't know, this is my husband, Paul, this beautiful, beautiful man. Yeah, stand up. Look at this son of God. Met him in church, ladies, okay? You don't meet a man of God in the pub, you meet him in the house of the Lord, okay? This is where the good ones are. All right, I call Paul the Lamb of God because his hair is so thick and lamby. Was that blasphemous? I'm so sorry. It can't be worse than what you preached, right? Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is going to activate prophetic callings tonight. That's what He told me He was going to do. I just want to know if you realize we're in a room full of teenage prophets. Some of you felt your heart skip a beat just then when I said that. You already feel the fire of God in your bones. Some of you don't feel anything at all, and that's okay, because he's not led by feelings and emotions, even when we are God. If he calls you, and he's going to minister to you too. He's going to minister to you too. Are you ready? In fact, actually, I feel in my spirit. Can I minister for a moment? Well, Paul, my husband, said yes, so I guess I can. I actually feel like God wants to open prophetic ears tonight, open ears to hear the voice of the Lord, like the prophet Samuel. But some of us in here have been under a spirit of criticism. You've had negative words or cruel words spoken over you, and those words for your life, they have functioned like blockages, like earplugs in your ears, and it's made it difficult to hear the word of the Lord, the encouragement of the Lord, the truth of the Lord, the affirmation of the Lord. And tonight I believe that the Lord would say He wants to put joy in your spirit. He wants to call you out. He wants to raise you up. He wants to put His purpose in you, but you can't hear it because you've got so many negative words in your ears. Where are those who have had negative words spoken over them? We're going to break it off right now. Come on. Come on, all these hands going. If you see someone with their hand up, you honor them, you cheer them on, and then you begin to pray for them, because we're going to break those off right now in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, we're here for revival. We're here for revival. This is what it's all about, Lord. We speak over every person tonight with their hand in the air, and we break the power of every negative word spoken over them. We break the power of every cruel word spoken over them right now in the name of Jesus. And we plead the blood of Jesus over their minds, and we speak life. We speak hope. We speak the promises of God. You will hear the voice of God. God is calling you tonight. He's raising you up in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. We command ears to open right now in Jesus' name to hear the word of the Lord. To hear the word of the Lord. Mend broken hearts tonight, Jesus. Mend broken hearts tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep ministering for a moment. We'll get into the word in just a second. Thank you, Lord. Keep ministering. This is what the anointing's for. This is what the Holy Spirit's for. Thank you, Lord. Joy is being restored. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you hear anything that's off, just blame Pastor Harry. Pastor Harry Slade, I believe the Lord would have a word for you, my friend. A real one. A real one, not a sarcastic one. Before Peter ever stood up to thousands, Jesus entrusted him with the lambs. Pastor Matt, would you just lay your hands on Harry right now? Pastor Paul, my husband Paul, not the apostle. Can you just lay your hands on? You know, Pastor Harry, that he's called you to preach to thousands. And Christ didn't ask Peter to build a platform at the crossroads of his call. He asked him to feed his lambs. And it is a call that you have humbly said yes to. And like Peter, I believe the Lord has placed an apostolic mandate upon your shoulders, because he can trust you with the little ones. The Lord says that he can trust you with much, because the kingdom of God, Harry, is upside down, where the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And while the world elevates those who are larger and bigger and stronger and influential, the good shepherd tends first to the lambs. To the lambs, it's where his heart is, it's where the future is, and you have postured yourself where his heart is. And I believe the Lord is going to extend the apostolic anointing on your life. He's going to enlarge it. So can we just appreciate and honor our pastors? Just stretch out your hand and release that word over him. God, we ask that you would enlarge the borders and the territory of this man's ministry. The Lord would say to you tonight, Pastor Harry, stretch out your tent pegs. Stretch them out, stretch them out, stretch them out. The Jabez prayer is for you. The Jabez prayer is for you. Extend his influence, Lord. Bless his book, Lord. Let this book, let this scroll of revelation to young people go forth, Lord. Go forth more and more and more and more and more. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the book. Thank you for the scroll. Thank you for the ministry on this man's life. Thank you, Lord. More, 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 more. Everybody say more. And we'll just leave him to marinate for a little bit, and we'll get into the word of God. Is everyone good? How you feeling? You all had your Red Bull for Jesus tonight? Yeah? If you need any more, Pastor Harry's got them. Okay. All right. I want to preach about Samuel tonight. Thank you so much. I won't keep you here for 40 minutes, but I'll bring you back. I want to preach about Samuel, not a king, not a warrior, not a celebrity, not a podcaster, but Samuel was a teenager who responded to the call of God and became a prophetic voice to the nation. And the reason I want to preach about Samuel tonight to Nation's Youth is because this teenager became one of the most influential voices in the Old Testament. And I believe that tonight God is raising up Samuels. Have we got any Samuels in the room tonight? Tonight some of you are going to get called for the very first time. You're going to get called tonight. Tonight you're going to hear the voice of God, and it's not going to be an audible voice, but something in your spirit is going to wake up. You're going to recognize Him calling your name. And when you hear the call of the Lord, I want you to respond like Samuel did in the Bible. He said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." We got some hungry young people in the room. I feel like I barely have to do anything tonight because it's just all been done. It's like, how much further can we go into the presence of the Lord? How much more transformation do we need? It's all been done, but there's always more in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Okay, this is the coolest thing about Samuel, is that he was called not on his 21st birthday, not when he turned 18, not when he had his sweet 16. He was called at 12 years old. Let's give it up for the 12-years. Where am I, your sevens tonight? Come on. The first time I encountered the Holy Spirit, did I tell you I'm a Scarborough girl? I live in Byron Bay now, but I was born in Scarborough. Is anyone actually from Scarborough? Because every time I've preached at Nations, I said I'm from Scarborough, and everyone's like, south of the river, don't care about the north. Anyone from Scarborough? Just me again. Just me again. Let's be friends. Let's be friends. Go Scarborough. Go Scarborough. I left Perth when I was 18, but Perth always has my heart because, you know, that's where the revival's broken out for the rest of the nation. So I hope you get me back. But 12 years old, or 13 years old, was the first time I encountered the Holy Spirit in a little Anglican church in Carinup. Carinup, anyone? Little Anglican church. There was no cool stages like this and really bright colored slides to capture your attention. For those of us with shorter attention spans, I did this for you and me. I mean, myself included, but I encountered the Holy Spirit. It was just one teenager, couldn't have been more than 17 years old, and he was just playing really clunkily on a keyboard, and that's all that was happening, and it was just a room full of wooden pews and really musty carpet. But as he began to play and talked about the God who holds the universe in the palm of his hand, something began to happen to me. I began to shake uncontrollably in the power of God. I began to realize that God was more real than the carpet I was standing on, and when you get hit with the fire of God like that, let me tell you, everything changes. Everything changes. Nothing will be the same. And this happens to Samuel at 12 years old. He hears God call him. And let me tell you why this is important for you. Because God is going to use him to open up access to the voice and word of God for an entire generation. He's going to bring a whole nation back to the word of God. Samuel isn't going to wear a crown, but he chooses kings. He's not going to sit on a throne himself, but he's going to determine who sits on it. It's called influence. He doesn't fight any battles, but he's going to anoint the warriors who will. And Samuel, and the reason I've chosen to preach on him tonight for us, is because he proves something deeply unsettling to the assumption that teenagers are the church of the future and not the church of today. This is not the church of tomorrow. This is not a stepping stone to the real ministry. This right here in this room full of 600 teenagers, this is the kingdom of God breaking out among us. This is the church of today. This is why we're here. The Holy Spirit doesn't have ageism, okay? He calls who he calls. Samuel is threatening to the lie that God only uses people when they're older, louder, or more important. Hello? His story is going to prove to us that you don't need to be old to be significant. You don't need a platform to be powerful. You don't need a title. You don't need a position. You don't need social status or a certain amount of followers to leave a mark on history. Samuel's going to show us that. And I want to let you know that tonight, that same spirit that set Samuel on fire wants to set you on fire. And that same spirit of prophecy that flowed through his life wants to flow through yours. We got some faith in the house tonight. That same God who called and raised up Samuel, he's calling you tonight. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and he lives in me. Hallelujah. Do you love the gospel? Do you love the word of God? Because I just love it. I love it so much. See, here's the thing. God doesn't have a different calling waiting for you when you turn 18. He's not like warming you up and planning to use you later. He doesn't respond to age. He responds to hunger. He doesn't respond to age. He responds to authority. Have we got any hungry people in the house tonight? Because it's Samuel's hunger where God called him. And he didn't call any of the adults. He called Samuel when he was 12. He releases callings to the hearts that say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." I should probably get to the scripture. Verse 1, chapter 3 of Samuel. It says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days," listen, "in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord," much like what's happening here on the front row, okay, where the ark of God was. We were just singing about the ark. "Then the Lord called Samuel." This is so important for us, friends, because God called Samuel at a time when the word of the Lord was rare. And the lamp of God hadn't gone out, but it was dim. It means that the fires of revival had almost gone out. No one was hearing from God anymore when God called Samuel. No one was speaking the truth. Bibles were gathering dust and the nation had forgotten God. And into that silence, God speaks to a teenager. Samuel wasn't called into a comfortable culture where it was easy to be a Christian. He was called into a confusing one. He was called into a culture where everyone was just living their own truth instead of God's truth. Hello? Because that's what happens when the word of the Lord is rare. A culture that rewarded popularity over integrity, loud voices over the truth, appearances over obedience. Does it sound familiar? A culture where compromise was normal and holiness was weird. And in fact, the young leaders in God's house, you might have heard of Samuel, but you might not have heard of these two, Hophni and Phinehas, were living proof of what happens when compromise becomes normal, because they were looking into the wrong mirror, if you know what I mean. See, Eli is the leader of the nation, and these guys, Hophni and Phinehas, are the Nepo babies of the Old Testament, if I can say that. It says this in chapter 2, verse 22. "By this time, Eli was very old. He kept getting reports on how his sons were ripping off the people and sleeping with the women who helped out at the sanctuary." See, these guys had influence and status, not because of calling, but because of family connections. Dad is the leader, so we can do what we want, when we want, with who we want. And now they're running the show. They've got perks, they've got followers, they've got main character energy. Anyone? While God's word went silent. And I tell you why, because going through the motions of religion is what happens when the lamp of God dims and the revival fire goes out. See, Hophni and Phinehas wore the robes of a priest, but they didn't guard the altar. They were platformed, but they weren't proven. That means they looked like Christians, but they didn't live like Christians. They talked like Christians, but they didn't walk like Christians. They had one hand on their Bible and the other hand on the money bags. They followed their feelings instead of following the calling of God. You see, fake followers look spiritual until holiness costs them something. And then there's Samuel. And then there's Samuel. See, Samuel wasn't powerful and popular and cool like them. He didn't have a title. He didn't have a position. His only role, the text says, which I love because it was written by him, it says he was to minister to the Lord in the temple. Oh, just what we were doing tonight. Nations Youth, ministering to the Lord in the temple. See, this is where the ark is. This is where his presence is. And we were just busy ministering to the Lord in the temple because we know this is where the power is. This is where the anointing is. This is where the promise is. This is where our significance is. This is where our purpose is. Hello. This is where our future is. Whoo, I just got goosebumps. Anybody? And so while Hophni and Phinehas were busy wearing the robes of the priest, Samuel was busy guarding the altar of God. While Hophni and Phinehas were sleeping around, the text says, Samuel was sleeping next to the Ark of the Covenant, the text says. God's very presence. He's not chasing the crowd like Hophni and Phinehas. He's spending his youth cultivating the calling of God in the house of the Lord. Where are our affections and desires tonight? Are we chasing the crowd or are we chasing the call of God? Because Samuel knows that in order to carry the anointing, we've talked a lot about the anointing of God tonight. In order to carry the power and the anointing of God, you have to get close to the Word and the presence of God. And the presence of God wasn't out there with the crowd and the TikTok followers and the highlight reels and building a name for ourselves and building an image for ourselves. No, no, it was in God's presence. It was in the house of God. See, Hophni and Phinehas, they might have been the Nepo babies of the Old Testament, but I want to tell you tonight that God doesn't anoint surnames. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't have the same value system as the algorithm, you see. See, wearing the priestly robes doesn't mean that we are one. He doesn't care about position or platform. He wants our heart. He wants our heart. That's all he wants. He just wants our heart. See, Hophni and Phinehas' value system works in a culture where the word of the Lord is rare. And while they have a platform and a microphone, God is raising up Samuels behind temple doors because he doesn't want us to conform to culture. He wants us to reform the future of the nation and bring a generation back to the truth of the gospel. Why? Because we know that the truth will set us free, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Anybody? Anybody? And so I want to ask us tonight, are you wearing the robe? Or are you guarding the altar? Is that okay? Are we on the same page? Are we wearing the robes? Or are we guarding the altar? Because God is not looking for performers. He's looking for reformers. You see, I hope you've had Red Bull for this because it's probably needed. Performers keep the show going, but reformers bring the fire back, you see. God isn't after hype Christians who know how to lift their hands in worship but won't lay down sin in private. God wants the real thing. He wants the real thing. He wants priests who love the presence of God so much that they'll give up the whole world to have him. Do you love him tonight? And it's when everyone else is conforming to the culture that God raises up teenage prophets to reform the culture. I just want to know one more time, do we have any reformers in the room tonight? Do we have any young people who are not going to conform to the culture, but they're going to transform the culture in Jesus' mighty name? Because we're not just going to talk the talk, we're going to walk the walk. Hallelujah. See, the world can be loud. But you are not defined by what is happening around you. You are defined by the one who calls you. Come on, somebody. We're not here to fit in tonight. God's called us to something bigger than the world's applause. Who's living for the audience of one? You see, empty religion is when people look like Christians, but they live like Hophni and Phinehas. And see, Hophni and Phinehas, the voice of Hophni and Phinehas will tell you that distraction is normal and hunger is just too extreme. It's just, what we're doing in here tonight, it's just too much. It's just too much. You guys are weird. You need to take it down a notch. Oh, no, we don't. Because that same voice is the voice that celebrates compromise and calls holiness weird. It's not too much. You can never be too holy. You can never be too passionate about the presence of God. You can never be too much worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Alpha and Omega and the author and finisher of our faith. Anybody? I don't know about you, but I don't want to just show up to church. I want to meet with God. That's why I came. That's why I came to Nations Youth Conference 2026. I don't want to just show up to a building. I want to meet with God. Oh, come on. I don't want to just wear the label of a Christian. I want to wear the blood of Christ, forgiven, cleansed, set free, and healed by the blood of the Lamb. I don't want to just raise my hands in worship. I want to be transformed by the Spirit of the living God. I don't want to just be baptized by water. I want to be baptized by fire. Come on, somebody. We didn't come to church tonight for religion. We came for revival. We came for revival, didn't we? There's a move of God coming, but he needs a group of teenage reformers who are more hungry for the call than they are for the crowd. And so while Hophni and Phinehas are abusing the altar in public, there was a 12-year-old behind temple doors with no microphone, no title, no audience, no followers, just a teenager learning to listen to the prophetic voice of God. Just a year seven, positioning himself as close to the presence of God as he could possibly get. In the first year of youth, If there was a youth group running, it would have been his first year. He's sleeping by the Ark of the Covenant, the very earthly address for the very presence of God. You know, it's a strange detail to include into the text, but it's telling us that Samuel knows something. Samuel knows something that Hophni and Phinehas don't. He knows that proximity to the presence of God is more powerful than popularity. He knows that holiness is more powerful than hype. And you know, maybe Samuel's life looks a little bit boring. I don't know, compared to all the action that Hophni and Phinehas are getting. Like, where's the drama? Where's the plot twists? Where's the girl's golden glory? You know what I mean? Where are they? Where, his life looks ordinary. It looks boring. See, Hophni and Phinehas have the drama. And drama entertains you, but it also enslaves you. It's in the book. Samuel, by the world's standard, was living a comparatively more boring life, I'll give him that, than Hophni and Phinehas. No hookups, no list of girls in his DMs, no spotlight to protect or image to create. Just a choir boy in his tunic that his mum made him. But boring is often blessed in the kingdom of God. I want to tell you tonight that boring is often where the promise of God is and the presence of God is in a culture addicted to dopamine hits. See, God isn't where you scroll. He's in the scroll. He's in the temple of God. He's in the word of God. He's in the church. I can feel it in my spirit. I can feel it in this room. Some of us need to put down our phones and just learn to be bored again. Okay? Choose destiny over drama. You know what I mean? Destiny over distractions. Destiny over dopamine. That's a great slogan. We should make that into a sticker. Destiny over dopamine. Because you know what's not boring, Nations Youth? Being entrusted with the prophetic revival of a whole nation. You know what's better than hype? Getting healed, delivered, set free, anointed by the supernatural power of the living God. And if we want the super, we have to let go of the natural. Samuel wasn't boring, Samuel was blessed. Because holiness is better than hype. And so we need to know that holiness is not flawless. It doesn't mean you're flawless. It doesn't mean you never make mistakes. It's not being better than everybody else. Holiness is a posture of the heart that says, God, I want you more than my comfort. I want you more than my addiction. I want you more than my status and my likes and my followers. I want you more than the crowd, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And God can give us things that the world can never give us, amen? Some of us need to lay down trying to be popular because God wants to put his favor on you. And popularity is the counterfeit of the favor of God. And the favor of God can open doors that no man can open. Hallelujah. God doesn't want you to be just an influencer. He wants you to be influential. And to be influential in a way that changes the world and brings heaven to earth, you need the anointing, you need the presence, you need the resurrection power of Jesus Christ flowing through your life. You need the fire of God on the altar, amen? Hallelujah, yes we do. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit. You see, Hophni and Phinehas chose popularity and forfeited the prophetic. It could have been them. See, God never stops speaking, we just stop listening. They had the platform, they had the position, they had the crowd. See, the crowd can affirm you, but they can't anoint you. Can I say that again? The crowd can affirm you, they cannot anoint you. Only Jesus Christ of Nazareth has the authority to put his anointing on you, to put his power in you, to use his favor for you. And the devil will try to get you to trade affirmation for anointing, because he knows what happens when a teenager gets anointed and called by God. And the devil can't afford to have any more Samuels raised up in Western Australia, because there's already too much salvation happening. There's too much revival happening. There's too much healing happening. See, when God's ready to move, he doesn't call the loudest people. I know I'm loud, I'm so sorry. He calls the radically obedient. He calls the radically obedient. You see, Samuel's first ever prophetic word will test his obedience to God over the opinion of the crowd. Are we ready for it? See, the litmus test of your calling isn't applause. It's whether you can carry God's message and voice without diluting it and editing it for a crowd that has forgotten the word of God. See, God said to Samuel, listen carefully. I love this. It says, I'm getting ready to do something in Israel that is going to shake everyone up and get their attention. And just so you know, when revival's happening, people get shook up and God gets their attention. So basically, God's saying, I'm going to bring a revival. I'm going to bring a mighty move of God to the nation of Israel. But you need to listen carefully, Samuel, because I'm going to use you to do it. I wonder what God would use you to do tonight if we weren't afraid of the opinions, if we weren't afraid to look holy, if we weren't afraid to look weird, if we would just lay down our status, lay down our popularity, lay down our image. I wonder what God, how he would use us in this nation. How would he use us if we just surrendered it and let it go, let it go, let it go? Who cares about social media? I want revival. I want revival. I want the kingdom of God to break out in this country. I don't care about TikTok. I just want people to get healed, set free, transformed, saved, come over from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's what I want. Come on. You see, then God says, I'm going to shake everyone up and get their attention. And it says this is important for us tonight. It says Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Because it's not always easy to preach the gospel. But Eli called him and said, tell me all of it. Don't suppress or soften one word, as God is your judge. I want it all, word for word, as it was said to you. And so Samuel told him word for word. He held back nothing. He held back nothing because he is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anybody? See, there's always going to be a tension between being celebrated by culture and chosen by God. We're going to walk in that tension. That tension is being tested in our lives tonight. And I want to tell you that this is where the calling is formed. Because while others were talking about God and pretending to know God, Samuel was talking to God. And then he began to speak for God. You have to talk to God before you speak for God. Because we don't want to just wear the robes. We want to guard the altar. Can I just say to you tonight, don't be afraid to be countercultural. Don't be afraid to look different to the world. He's not raising influences. He's raising priests who can hear him. You are a holy priesthood. And obedience is more important than the opinions of the crowd. If you live for the crowd, the very same people who crown you will be the same ones who cancel you. You just ask Jesus. You just ask Jesus. And so while Hophni and Phineas are out just doing their things, swiping left and right on Tinder, you know, stealing money from the people of God, Samuel was kindling the fire of God at the altar. See, the altar of God is where the fire is. It's where the fire of God is. It's where the calling is burned into you and it marks you forever. And you know, once you've been set on fire at that altar, everything changes. Everything changes. And when I tell you, because I've been to the altar of God. I've been to the altar of God and I've been burned by the calling of God. And when that happens, is the world can take your fame, but it can't take the fire. They can take your reputation, they can, but they cannot take the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that lives within you. They can take your position, they can. They can take your likes. The algorithm can do what it wants to do, but it cannot take the presence of God from you. Nothing can take the anointing of God from you. Nothing can take the calling of God. I'm going to invite the musicians to join me because the Lord wants to minister tonight. And I came here tonight to remind some people that your calling is not a popularity contest. We don't need to chase popularity when we're meant to be priests. We're not meant to be normal. We're meant to be supernatural. Supernatural. We're not meant to be affirmed by culture. We're meant to be anointed for culture. I think it's time to stop worrying about people calling us weird for being Christians. Can we just make an agreement tonight that we're okay with being called weird? We believe in a man who was resurrected from the dead. It's like that ship has sailed. That ship has sailed. Like being called weird is the least of our problems, you know what I mean? If weird means going against the status quo, then you know what? I'm actually okay with weird. I don't know about you. If extraordinary, supernatural, prophetic, and countercultural is weird, then I'm okay with being called weird. Maybe the world needs weird. I don't know. Maybe social media needs weird. Maybe Australia needs weird. Maybe your high school needs weird. Maybe your connect group needs weird. Maybe your family needs weird. We don't need to be natural, mundane. We need to be supernatural priests at the altar of God. You want to talk about weird? Let's not forget that God used a homeschooled 12-year-old in a tunic that his mum made him with no actual friends listed in the text to change the landscape of his nation and become one of the greatest prophetic voices in the history of the world and a name that would be in the Bible itself. I actually think I'm pretty okay with being weird for the Lord. Let's be weird for the Lord. Just like Pastor Harry, let's be weird for the Lord. He never knew, Samuel, that his life was pointing to the day when a greater Samuel would come with an even greater message. And it was a time when God would stop speaking just through the prophets. The word of God was going to come and put skin and bones on and step into human history himself. See, Jesus Christ came in a culture where the word of the Lord was very rare. In fact, they hadn't heard the word of the Lord for 400 years. Jesus came as a much greater Samuel. You see, a greater prophet, a perfect priest. See, Samuel carried the lamp of God, but Jesus would come as the light of the world. See, Samuel was tested by the culture, yes, but Jesus was tested by the cross. Is anyone grateful for the cross tonight? Let's do fire and wind. Fire and wind. Yeah, let's do it. Do you reckon? Do you reckon? I'm vibing it. You vibe fire and wind? I heard you did it a lot last night. Is that true? Are we over it yet, or can we go again? Fire and wind. I just feel it in my spirit. I just want to do it. It's like, let's not be baptized just in water, but by the fire of God. Because the lamp of God has not gone out in this nation or in your high school and in your family. If you're in it, the fire of God is there. See, Jesus is greater than Samuel. He chose the cross over the crowd when they wanted grace but not the truth. He chose cross over religion when the Pharisees were going through the motions of the temple. He chose the cross over opinions when everybody thought it was shameful to die a sinner's death. They didn't understand. But that rugged cross of Jesus Christ of Nazareth became the wood for the altar of the perfect priest. That rugged cross became the wood for the fire of the Holy Spirit to fall upon not just one nation and one generation, but every tribe, tongue, and nation from generation to generation. Will you stand tonight and give him praise for the good news of Jesus Christ? Come on, somebody. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Do it again, Lord. Come rest on us, Holy Spirit. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up. We want the real thing tonight. We want the real thing tonight. Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do. We'll provide the sacrifice. We'll provide the wood, but only you can provide the fire, God.
Open up the gates, let heaven on in.
Come rest on us. Come rest on us.
Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in.
Coming tonight. There's a move of God coming tonight. Shia, cut us, soya, when I see it. Come and do it again. Samuel. I feel it in my spirit. He's not calling you to popularity, but to priesthood. You're called to alter history, but he needs you to come to the altar first. You need to come to the cross. You need to come and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. If you hear the calling of the Lord tonight, if you know that he wants to anoint you, I want you to run to this altar. Run to this altar. The Spirit and the anointing and the power and the authority of God is pouring out tonight. Hey, he's called you, he's called you, he's calling you, he's calling you. Jeremiah, do not let people look down upon you because you are young. He has called you, he's called you. More God. Fire, fire and wind, come upon my brother in Christ. Come upon him now, fire, fire, fire. He's come to the altar. There's an open heaven over you tonight. He's raising you up as a young Samuel in your youth group, in your family, in this nation. He's breaking off intimidation tonight. He's breaking intimidation off you tonight. Some of us in here, he's activating callings right now. He's activating callings right now. You know that you're called as Samuel. As soon as I said teenage prophet, something shifted in your spirit. You felt it. Where are the Samuels in here tonight? You know that word was for you. You felt it in your spirit. We're being countercultural tonight. We don't care about image. I want you to stick your hand right up in the air because we're going to commission you. We're going to commission you. Come on, look at this. Look at this room. Look at this room full of reformers. If you see someone with their hand up, I want you to lay your hands on them, begin to release the anointing of the Lord. Prayer ministers, would you just begin to release the anointing of the Lord? Thank you, God, for the Samuel anointing, for the reformer anointing. We break intimidation off right now in Jesus' name. We break off the silencer, the one who would silence us, the one who would shrink us, the one who would intimidate us, the one who would accuse us, the accuser of the brethren. We reject that, we rebuke that, and we ask, Lord, that you would reach down from heaven and put your words in their mouth to be the mouthpiece of God to their generation. Thank you, God. Pour it out tonight. Pour it out tonight. Awaken it in their spirit right now, Lord. Awaken it in their spirit. Activate the calling of God. Activate the calling of God. If that's you, I want you to begin. begin to say to the Lord, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I want you to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, and God's going to give you a picture, or he's going to give you a scripture. He's going to give you a picture or a scripture, and I want you to let that image form, because this is how the prophetic works. And if he's given you a picture, I want you to ask him for a scripture that goes with it. And that's what I want you to write in your journal tonight. I want you to meditate upon it. And you wait a little bit, and then I want you to ask him if it's for anybody else. Is this a word? And if it's the Lord, it's always redemptive. If it's the Lord, it's always restorational. If it's the Lord, it's always good news. Amen. You're